You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Come to us now, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Amen. Grace and peace to you all this morning. The text for today's sermon comes to us from our Jeremiah passage, chapter 8, verse 21. And the object for today's sermon is for us to grow in compassion for our own woundedness. Now, I hear you say, goodness, well, that's quite a strong statement for 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I think the text beckons us, and our Lord beckons us, to grow in compassion for our own woundedness, which we all have and which has a source, and we're going to talk about that, but also as a result, for us to also grow in compassion for our attempts to mask or to fix our woundedness with those means that might promise to fix, but cannot in actuality. So Jeremiah 8:21 says this, "For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold on me." What is it like when you are with people, people that you love, and there's an elephant in the room? What is that atmosphere like? How does that situation feel? The elephant in the room could be material in nature. It could be emotional in nature. It could be painful, even. Elephants in the room often are. And we don't want to talk about it. I mean, that's the nature of elephants in the room. We don't want to talk about them. We just refuse to talk about them. We want to talk about the game. Sometimes you want to talk about the game. Sometimes you don't want to talk about the game. Or we talk about our book clubs. Or we talk about our golf trips. We talk about how hot it's getting, or remains to be, even though it's getting late into September. We want to talk about anything else than that elephant that's in the room. So how freeing is it then? How freeing is it when somebody finally says the obvious? When somebody finally says, "Mother, the yellow drapes in the dining room were a bad idea." You think to yourself, finally somebody said it. Finally somebody said that thing. Now, I'm talking about social dynamics, and we all know what that's like, but what I really want to talk about is the elephants that are in the rooms of our own lives as individuals. Because they're there too. We have elephants in the rooms of our lives, things that affect us, and things that we keep comfortably and uncomfortably in the corner. I mean, let's talk about wounds. Do you have wounds? Jeremiah 8:21 says, "For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded." Do you have wounds? Of course you do. I've yet to meet a person that doesn't. And like the elephant in the room, they're there. Those wounds are there. We're aware of them, even if we've pushed them out of sight, and even if we push them out of sight, we feel them, because there are times that if we act like they're not there, then they'll just go away. Let's take it one step further, and I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. Let's talk about sin. Now, to some, like myself, we have been taught by well-meaning people, we've been taught that sin is just a verb, that sin is just something that you do. And in that definition of sin, sin is just that willful choosing to do a moral wrong that you know you shouldn't be doing. That's a definition that I feel like is taught either implicitly or explicitly. So, which is to say, I know I shouldn't be doing this thing, but here I am, I'm going to do this thing anyway, and it's the wrong thing to do. That's a definition of sin that that many have been taught, myself included. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to expand your definition. I'm going to encourage you to expand your definition of sin. And this means everything as it relates to our woundedness, and I'll tell you why. The proper definition of sin, which is uncomfortable to talk about, I know, but the proper definition of sin is everything that is broken in a post-Genesis 3 world, in a post-God commanding Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit, and they do it anyway. God said, you will surely die. They didn't immediately, but they did eventually, something they were not designed to do. Sin is everything that's broken in a post-Genesis 3 world in which we look around our surroundings and we say, God's children, as we walk this earth, we say, you know what? We're not in Eden anymore. We're not in the garden anymore. We're not in Eden anymore. And we have all sorts of evidence that we can point to suggest that that's true. So the meaning of sin is that this world is not functioning in a way that it was designed to. That's everything from large-scale geopolitical events to your own life. It's not functioning in the way that it was designed to. Now, I'm not saying that's all the time. Sometimes it does, but we can go down the list and say, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. And that includes our woundedness. That includes our wounds that we carry with us. Wounds that exist for one reason or another because things in your life have happened or are happening to you, even things caused by your own actions that shouldn't have happened. And that has left you wounded. The expansive view of sin suggests that I don't look around the totality of the created order and think, like Genesis 1 and 2, everything is good. In the world, in my neighborhood, in my life, and in my past. Do you look around your neighborhood and say, everything is good? Or are there elephants in the room? Are there elephants in the room or rooms that make up your life? Do you have wounds? Now, I just have a couple of things to share. The first is this. The reality is that we are wounded because sin, the expanded view that I'm going to encourage you to take that line, has had its say in every single area of your life. It has had its say in your relationships, in your golf game, in your family dynamics. I know that sounds harsh, but I think it would be more harsh to deny that reality. Sin is the wound. It is the sickness that comes before your other wounds, which are very real. And we know that they're real because we feel them. We experience them, and we live with them. I don't think I'm going out on some theological limb here when I say that. It's just all there in the fine print and in the bold print. And in this passage, Jeremiah the prophet is grieving the fact that his people that he ministers to are wounded. They're wounded. They cannot stop from doing wrong. They cannot stop their self-sabotaging activities. They have been given a clear directive, turn back to God, and they didn't. And Jeremiah knows the consequences that are going to unfold on the people that he loves, and he is wounded, and God is wounded. They are wounded, and he is wounded. So the second point I would like to make is this. When we are wounded, and you know what it's like to have your wounds, you know what those are. I can't name them for you. When you go about your life in a post-Genesis 3 world, in a post-Adam and Eve's fall in the garden at the hands of a serpent, we will likely do one of a few things as it relates to our woundedness. So this isn't an exhaustive list, but I find these are the pretty easy things to find. The first is that we will act like they're not there. We'll just act like our wounds aren't there. They're the elephant in the rooms of our hearts. They are the yellow drapes in the dining room. They are the cough that we say is getting better while we know that it's not. It's a real wound in our real lives. It's a live wire, and we will act like it's not there. Do you resonate with that? Or we will try to mask or fill that wound with different things. There are obvious vices that one is prone to do, but what about the less obvious ones? What about who among us, I'm talking to myself here, who fills their schedule so they can avoid being alone? even with good things, so we can focus on those good things without actually being honest with ourselves about what's going on in our lives. Does that sound familiar? Lastly, and again, not exhaustively, but lastly for this purpose, we will try to fix our wounds ourselves. We'll try to fix them, which sounds noble. It sounds like something that we all do, because at the end of the day, we want to do that. But that is, at the end of the day, it's like me trying to be my own dentist, or my own mechanic, or my own doctor. My wife has told me, if you try to be your doctor one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. So to me, to you, to all of you, as it relates to our woundedness and trying to hide it, trying to mask it, trying to fix it, how's that going for you? Imagine talking to me, how's that going for you, Will? How's that going? Do you know what is interesting about this section of Scripture? There's a lot of interesting things about it, but as it relates to this, what is I find interesting is that God's people, to whom Jeremiah ministered, asked him, they asked Jeremiah, knowing that God had had enough of their idol worship and enough of their carved images, knowing that they would be crushed by their geographic and political enemies, they asked Jeremiah, and we see it in verse 19, is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not with her? Which can be translated as, we here are Hebrews. Shouldn't that be enough for God to deliver us? To which God replies, seemingly, in the verses that follow, you are my people. And I am watching you trying to fill, trying to fix, trying to hide your wounds, trying to fix your sin condition with all the wrong things, with idol worship, with asking me for geopolitical kings, and it's not working. It's just not working for you. And your wounds, and this is compassionate. God said, your wounds have become my wounds. I am grieving, says the Lord, and I grieve, which actually is a hopeful thing. And I'll tell you why. If this sermon has a turn, it's here. In our own woundedness, whatever that may be for you, how often do we walk around in our lives feeling like God is disappointed in us? How often do we walk around in our lives feeling like we are a disappointment to someone else? Which can feel like the same thing, by the way. It's not the same, but it can feel like the same thing. We have wounds. And sin, the expansive view of the definition, which I'm telling you to take that line, I encourage you to do that, has had its say in our lives. And I don't think I have to convince you of that, because we all know that this is true. So what are we to do? Here's the real turn. What are we to do? The first thing I would like to suggest is that because we are wounded, because sin has had its say in our lives, because wounds have their say in our lives, we might be a little more compassionate with ourselves about those wounds. Whatever they may be, we might be just a little bit more compassionate with ourselves about them, particularly those self-inflicted ones, but also those that have come at the hands of others, because sin and woundedness has had its say in their lives too. We can be compassionate about our wounds. We can help lessen the blow. But also more appropriately, it allows us to look at them with a little more perspective and a little more understanding. But the second relates to the first. The second thing I might suggest you to do is that we can be a little more compassionate with our failed attempts to fix or to mask or to treat them like the elephant in the corners of our hearts. It is only natural to fix that which is broken, and we want to fix those difficult parts of our lives, or to mask them, or to act like they're not there, because we know, at the end of the day, they shouldn't be there. We know we weren't designed for them to be there, and yet they remain. We know that life, a lot of times, was not designed to look this way. I look at Adam and Eve hiding in the garden. I look at the Hebrews that Jeremiah is referring to, worshiping idols and making carved images, and I say, you know what, I've been there before. I know what that's like. But to return to my question, which is an important one, in our own woundedness, how often do we walk around in our lives feeling like God is disappointed in us? Or because we've done that thing, or because we aren't living up to our potential, or because we've strayed further than we would have liked to, how often do we feel like that we're a disappointment to someone else? Which, as I say, can feel like the same thing. It can feel like the same thing. What have I said? I've said that we all have wounds because of an incurable condition in our existence called sin. It's a harsh reality, but it's a true reality. And if we try to deny that, I think we just stay where we are. I've also said that we will try to fix and to hide and to mask that reality, which are made manifest in other realities. So how are we to go on living? The first is to know that God has, and God does, grieve over our woundedness. Have you ever been told that before? God has, and God does, grieve over our woundedness. Not in a disappointing or a disapproving way, but in a way that empathizes with what's going on. God sees you. We have a God who sees, and he sees you. And he empathizes enough to open the door for you to tell him with whatever else is going on, whatever is going on in your life, for you to say, you know what, God? I've had enough of this problem, and it is your problem now. You're free to do that. You can tell him I said it. And he can handle it. The God of the universe can handle it. And when we have cried out to him, and when we have said, as Jeremiah has done, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my people not been restored? Maybe this is a tiny bit closer to home. When our Lord was crucified and rose again, and his faithful disciples are hiding, and they weren't that faithful because they scattered, and they're hiding in this upper room, and the door is locked, and Jesus somehow just appears in the room, and he doesn't say, "Hey, you all people, I'm so disappointed in you." He says, "Look at these wounds. Look at these wounds that I have." Because it's not a God that we have that has his finger like this. He says, "Look at these wounds." We have a God that has wounds. We have a God that has wounds. And we are free to be reminded with our own wounds. Quite often, there is nothing that we can do. There's not a single, because we've tried, and there's not a single thing we can do. But there is one who can. And there is one who has, and there is one who is doing. And we are free to be told compassionately, with comfort, with mercy by God, that God himself has come into this world to intervene. And he has opened his veins, and he has opened his hands, and he has poured out his blood, that by his wounds we have been healed, and not just our moral shortcomings. And we can open the door to those troublesome places in our hearts. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, in all of his goodness, would find those deep and unseen places with all of the elephants in the corner and all of our wounds, and he would preach the gospel there too. Because Christ has had his say in those places, and his blood has covered those wounds too. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves, which is a good thing. Come into those deep and unseen places. Come into those places that are right before us, and have your say. Deliver us, because as with ours, they are your problems. Remind us that your blood covers them. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.